Psalm 118. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me, and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, blessed be he that comes of the Lord, with the blessing of the Lord. God, Lord, the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. This is the Word of God. Our text this morning is verses 22 and 23. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as David writes this psalm, he looks round about him and takes note of a truth that attended his entire life. And the truth that attended his entire life is that men hated him, that men opposed him, that they compassed him about as a mighty army, and as a swarm of stinging bees, so that David's entire life had been a life of contention against men. And that's distressing. It was distressing for the psalmist, who writes about the sorrow that he found himself in, opposed by all of these men. And he writes about the danger in which he found himself, opposed by men. They thrust at him with their weapons to destroy him, to cut him down. And these men, though they were but men were mighty against David. These men threatened his death and his overthrow, so that at times David feared he would go into the grave and be consumed. When David writes this regarding the men who compassed him about and his lifetime of contention with evil men, David is writing as a prophet. A prophet who points us to another whose life was one of constant contention against dangerous, powerful, wicked men. And that other is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who was represented by David here, symbolically and typically, in this psalm. But David writes about another truth regarding his entire life, that when men gathered themselves and compassed David about to destroy him, God delivered him. And those men could have no victory over him. David writes that the Lord was on his side, that the Lord fought for him, that the Lord did not give his soul to death, but the Lord saved him and established him and even lifted him up above all of the men who contended with him. And so it is with our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his constant contention against wicked men all of his life long had the victory, and had the victory in the most marvelous way, through the death of the cross even, under the curse of Jehovah God, and who was raised by Jehovah to life everlasting. And by that death and by that resurrection has brought to his church salvation, so that in our contention against men, which characterizes our existence on this earth all our lives long, we too may be sure of the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus' victory is proclaimed in this psalm in striking and memorable language, in the language of our text: the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. When the builders, who represent all of those enemies and all of those men, refused the stone, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and cast him away from them, Jehovah God made that stone the head of the corner and the foundation of the church. Beloved congregation, do you see that? Do you see that this morning? This morning, when there may be a temptation to fear, this morning, when there may be a temptation to think that the foundations are shaken, and there may be a temptation to look ahead and wonder what will become of us, what will become of this band, what will become of this body that's gathered here this morning, what will become of us as the days and the weeks and the years unfold, and as the opposition of men is fierce and strong against us. Are you afraid this morning? Does your heart quake this morning? Behold, the stone which the builders refused. Behold that stone who suffered opposition his whole life long, and who was taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain, and who by his death won your life and mine, no righteousness. Behold that stone whom Jehovah has made the headstone of the corner. the foundation stone of His church. So that you and I this morning are built on Him, established on Him, and immovable in Him, and have the privilege by His grace of now giving all our praise and all our worship to Him for all our days. Behold, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Let us consider this word of God to us this morning under the theme, the stone which the builders refused. In the first place, consider rejected by the builders. In the second place, see that He has become the head of the corner. And in the third place, we marvel at it, for this is marvelous in our eyes. The stone which the builders refused, rejected by the builders, become the head of the corner, marvelous in our eyes. David, in this psalm, as he sees himself surrounded by evil men who seek to throw him down and who hated him and opposed him and chased him all his life, says that he, as a type of Christ, is the stone refused by the builders. And by that points us to the Lord Jesus Christ as this stone refused by the builders. The Lord Jesus Christ is this stone. And that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as He is the Son of God come in our flesh. It refers to Jesus Christ as He is incarnate in this world so that men during His earthly life could take hold of Him. They could touch Him. They could sit at His feet and see Him and hear the sounds and the words that came from His mouth. They could take hold of Him finally and seek to cast Him out. They could even drive nails through His hands and His feet. Jesus Christ is the stone come into our flesh, the Son of God incarnate. And there had never been anything like that before in the world. The world's never seen anything like Him. That was evident already to the shepherds at Jesus' birth when they came and before a little child bowed down and worshipped. There was something about this stone, this Son of God in our flesh, this child that the world had never seen. And if we could see with spiritual eyes who that child was and what he was in the manger, we would have been stunned. For that little child in the manger had a sword proceeding out of his mouth. That's the reality of this stone come in our flesh. This Son of God incarnate. He has a sword coming out of his mouth so that his word thrusts through and destroys all of his enemies. And that little child lying there has a rod of iron in his hand, a rod with which he rules the nations, a rod with which he subjects the nations to himself and destroys them. The Son of God come in our flesh has brass feet, hard metal, so that when his enemies are struck down to the ground, he tramples on them and grinds them into powder. That's the Lord. That's the Son of God incarnate. That's this stone. And so the builders had to refuse him. The builders wanted no part with him. He was their destruction. He was their judgment. And so those builders came to cast him out. The picture is vivid. The picture is of a building site, a construction site. And laying at that construction site on the ground are all kinds of stones that the masons and the master builders are going to use in order to build a house. Those builders are walking through that construction site. They're looking at all of the stones in order to find one that they can lay down as a cornerstone upon which the whole house can be erected and upon which all of the other stones can rest and from which all of the other stones will have their strength. And as those builders walk through that construction site, they come to this stone, the Son of God, come in our flesh, and they refuse Him. They will not have Him as a cornerstone. And when they refuse Him, we must not understand it this way, that they walk stone by stone and say, not that one, not that one, and there's the stone, Jesus Christ, and not that one either, and not the next one. Rather, when they refuse this stone, they come to Him and they hate Him. They're angry with Him. They don't merely say, not that one, but they pick that stone up. They heft it between them, some on that side and some on this side. And they take that stone away from the construction site and cast it away from themselves. They take it to the edge of a cliff and pitch it over so that that stone is gone from them. They hate it. They refuse it. They despise it. It is to them a terrible, horrible thing. And not only will it not be their cornerstone, but it will have no place at all in their building. They cast it away. He's the stone which the builders refused. And that's what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ His whole life long. They pitched Him away. They cast Him away as far as they could. Before He was even born, the innkeeper of Bethlehem cast away that stone and refused Him and said to Him, there's no room for you here. Herod cast that stone away by crying out, kill Him, destroy Him, and kill all of the children 2 years old and under to make sure that this stone is eradicated. All Jesus' life long, He endured the contradiction of sinners against Himself. They hated Him. They laid traps for Him. They came tempting Him with hard questions to entangle Him in His own words so that before all of the people He would look foolish and so that the rulers of the people would have some pretense and excuse for finally destroying His word, destroying Him from them. David writes about that opposition of the people to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And men sought to do much unto Jesus. Verse 7, therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. With vicious hatred, they opposed the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, whipped into a frenzy of their own hatred, brought Him before the rulers of the land and cried out, crucify Him, crucify Him, and delivered Him over to the cruel captors who nailed His hands and feet to His cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, all His life long, was refused of the builders and cast out by them. Why is it that the builders cast Him out? Why did they hate Him so? The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God come in our flesh, is the revelation of the glory of God. The revelation of the power of God and the righteousness of God and the holiness of God, so that this stone was light. And we can imagine the stone that way on that construction site. The builders came to that stone and He's radiant with light, shining with all the righteousness of God. And in that light of the righteousness of God, their sin was exposed. They were shown to be corrupt and wicked, and they couldn't have that stone in their house. Who wants a stone like that in their house? That's always shining on one and always showing one how awful and how corrupt one is, as if that stone would shine on one and cast a silhouette of corruption on the wall day after day, night after night. And when the inhabitants of that house do something they consider good, that stone would expose them and show, but it's not good enough. And that's not what the Lord requires. Who wants to live in a house with a stone like that? And so those builders picked him up and cast him away. Be gone with you. We will not have you. That stone was hated by the builders as well, because that stone exposed their unbelief and their hypocrisy. When Jesus spoke and taught, it had authority. The people knew they were hearing a prophet when Jesus spoke. And it was so different from the scribes and the Pharisees. When they spoke, there was no authority. There was no conviction behind that speaking of the scribes and the Pharisees. And no wonder, because those scribes and those Pharisees didn't believe what they were saying anyway. They bound all kinds of laws onto the consciences of the people, made all kinds of rules for them, but wouldn't lift a finger themselves to bear all of those rules. The scribes and Pharisees were hypocrites. They didn't believe what they were teaching. And when Jesus came, the stone, with the Word of God, as the revelation of God, He exposed their hypocrisy. And in hatred for Him, they cast Him away. They hated this stone as well, because you cannot build the kingdom that the builders wanted on that stone. The kind of house the builders were interested in could not rest on the Lord of glory. The house that the builders wanted was a house of man. A house of man. A kingdom of man in which man has glory. A kingdom in which man's will rules sovereign. A kingdom in which man has his way. And man has his pleasure. And man has all the things of the earth for himself. A great kingdom of man is what the builders wanted. They were always working to build it. They were working to build that kingdom of man at the Tower of Babel. They didn't erect that tower on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, but on the false unity and the false glory of man. And so when Jesus Christ came, they saw Him and saw that He constantly was dismantling the glory of men, constantly speaking of the glory of God. When they saw that that glory consumed Him, that zeal for Jehovah's house, where Jehovah's glory is proclaimed, consumed Him, they hated Him. They could not have Him. They cast Him away. And the builders rejected the stone, Jesus Christ, because they wanted the church in that day for their own. They wanted it to be their kingdom, to be their vineyard. When Jesus applies our text in Matthew 21 to Himself, He does that in the parable of the husbandmen who were given to watch the vineyard and work the vineyard of the Lord. And when the Lord sent His servants, they mistreated them and killed them. And when the Lord finally sent His own Son, they said, if we kill Him, the vineyard will be ours. And so they took the stone, cast Him away. They wanted the church for themselves to prop up their honor and their glory and their life on this earth. The stone which the builders refused is always, always refused by the builders. Who are those builders that refuse this stone? These builders are the members of the church. The builders are not, first of all, Pontius Pilate. The builders are not, first of all, Roman soldiers who actually drove the nails into Jesus' hands. Oh, it comes to that the ungodly world and the wicked world cast this stone away too. But the builders are the church. The builders are the members of Israel. The builders are those who had the Word of God that promised, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And when that cornerstone came, they picked Him up and they threw Him away. Opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ always starts in the church. It's always been the way of the persecution of the church and the casting out of Jesus Christ in the church. How did that go in 1834 when Hendrik de Kock and those of the Offskyting were cast out and had to separate and leave because there was no place for them in that corrupt state church? It was the church that came after them with fines and persecution. How did it go in 1924 with Herman Hoeksema, George Uphoff, and Henry Danhoff, when they were cast out of the Christian Reformed Church? It was the church that hated them and cast them out for the gospel of Jesus Christ that they taught. The builders represent the church. Do you hear that? Do I hear that? The builders represent those who have the name church. That's you. That's me. He exposes our sin. He's consumed with the zeal of the glory of God and proclaims His glory. And there's none for us. You and I come here today. There's no glory for us here today. There's none. The glory is all Christ's and all God's. Because of that old man of sin that we carry around with us, there will always be a temptation for us to make this our thing. To make this our vineyard. And to hate and despise the cornerstone and the Lord for it. The builders also represent the leaders of the church. When Jesus walked on this earth, it was the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers and the Sanhedrin and Caiaphas, the high priest, who hated Him and who led in casting Him out and putting Him away from them. The leaders of the church. It has to be the leaders of the church. The builders have to be the leaders Because the leaders of the church are the ones who have the power. They're the ones who have the authority. They're the ones who can take hold of that stone and heft him up on their shoulder together and run to the edge of the cliff and pitch him over through all of the powers and machinery that is in the church. The leaders of the church were the ones who cast Jesus out then. And so it has always been. It has been the assemblies where the power of the church resides. The leaders who have the voice in the church who cast out the stone. Do you hear that? Elders of this congregation, deacons and pastor of this congregation, do you hear that? It is the leaders who first, as builders, cast out Jesus Christ. Beware, men. Beware. See that stone for what he is. And lead the people to that stone this Lord's Day and every day following. The builders of the church represent also all of the members of the church who connive at what the leaders do and strengthen the leaders' hands in casting out the Lord Jesus Christ, and who by their silent acquiescence in wickedness that transpires against the Lord and against His Word, or who actively take part in it, they are the builders who cast him out. Do we hear that? Do we see the corruption? The nature that we have that also would cast out the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't come here today. Let me not come here today to tell us and tell us all how good we are and how true we are and how faithful we are. Don't do that. We come here today and are humbled by what we, in our nature, do to that stone. We refuse Him. That's all we can do by nature to Him. We heft Him on our shoulders. Pitch Him out. By nature, that's how we came through the door this morning. With that stone on our shoulders. By nature would heave him away together. How does a church do that? How do builders refuse the stone? They do that in how they treat the Word of God. That's how the stone is known today. That stone who came in our flesh, those men in that day could handle. They could lay their hands on him physically. They could bind him physically. They could beat him with their open palms and press a crown of thorns into his forehead. They could drive a spike through his hands and his feet. They could handle him physically and cast him out that way physically. But even in Jesus' day, cast him out was in how they treated his word. They would stop their of Jesus Christ when he would teach the glory of God and when he would tear down the glory of man. They hated him for it. That's how they rejected Him. And that's how the Lord Jesus Christ is known and handled today in the Church of Jesus Christ. He's known in His Word. When the Word of God is proclaimed, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, you are handling the stone, and I am handling that stone. And the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ refuses the stone today by saying about that Word, we won't have it. We don't want that Word. The Church is always very careful in its rejection of that Word to make sure that it still proclaims the name of Jesus. You can go to a Roman Catholic church today and hear all kinds of things about Jesus. The church that casts away the Lord always confesses Him yet in name. But the doctrine of that Word and the truth of that Word that will not affirm men, but that declares God's glory and that rebukes the church for her errors and her sloth and her idolatry, that Word has no place. That's always the Word that's cast out. And when the church casts out that Word, that is refusing the stone, Jesus Christ. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved congregation, God has given us the stone in the gospel of our Lord. That must be the one thing that drives this church. It must be the one thing upon which we stand. Not the doctrines and commandments of men. Not the honor of the men and the women assembled here. But the truth of Jesus Christ and His gospel. And that must mean that if ever in this congregation there should arise a doctrinal controversy, that I must preach the truth of the Word of God against the lie, and you must insist on it. And you must insist that the minister come to the pulpit and rebuke us for our own errors. If we do anything else, we heft that stone on our shoulder, and carry him to the cliff, and pitch him over. The stone is always refused by the builders. But Jehovah God has made Him the chief cornerstone. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. And this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Jehovah God has made Him the headstone of the corner. This is the way that went then. To go back to that illustration, the builders, they pick up that stone, they heft Him on their shoulders, they march Him to the edge of the cliff, pitch Him off, and congratulate themselves on a job well done with an arm around the shoulder and a slap on the back. And as they make their merry way back to the construction site, to their astonishment when they come back, there that stone that they had pitched over the cliff is lying in the ground as the cornerstone, and the house is being built row upon row and level upon level upon that stone. It's the Lord's doing. There was no man there at the bottom of the cliff to catch that stone and haul that stone back up the cliff and lay him as the cornerstone. The Lord did that. You weren't there and I weren't there to catch the stone and lay him. You and I did not lay the cornerstone that is the foundation of this church. No man did that. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Jehovah God builds His house on this cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ. What does that mean, that Jesus is made the head of the corner? It means that the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted to the position of highest honor and highest glory. The whole church rests on Him. Church without Him. All of the church's life comes from Him. And He is the truth that the church knows and believes by faith, by the sovereign grace of God. He's the foundation of the church. That's honor and glory to Him. And cornerstone can mean something else too. It can mean the foundation stone. But the headstone of the corner can also mean that capstone that is particularly striking and beautiful and that the eye is drawn to when it first sees the building. The Lord Jesus Christ is glorious and exalted as the head of the church. And when anyone passing by sees the church, the first thing her eye is drawn to, that their eye is drawn to, is to her head and the cornerstone. It's the life of Christ and the truth of Christ that rules in the church. That Jesus is the cornerstone means that He has all honor and glory in the church of Jesus Christ. That He is the cornerstone, all that the entire church is fit to Him by God and established upon Him. So that all of the members of the church have their foundation in Him. It's not this, that Jesus is the cornerstone there, and then there's a handful of people who are built on Him, and then the rest of us are built on those other people, so that most of us are built on them, you on Jesus Christ. Not that at all. He's the cornerstone and the foundation stone of every one of His people, of every member of the church. And He is so by God's eternal appointment and decree. He's the cornerstone by election. For God has laid in Zion, according to 1 Peter, a cornerstone elect, precious. Jehovah God chose His church and all of the members of His church in that stone and for the sake of that stone to be built on Him. And that stone Himself goes through all the world in every age and gathers to Himself His people by His word and spirit. So that He is proclaimed in the gospel. And by that gospel, He works faith in the hearts of His people. By that faith, they are united to Him and established upon Him. That's the way to think. That cornerstone in the building of God's house. When the builders pitch that stone over the cliff, that stone itself goes through all the world, gathers every other stone that the Lord has chosen to Himself, and comes and is the firm foundation upon which they all rest. The life of that stone flows into the house so that it is a living temple of our God to give praise and honor to Him. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. That headstone of the corner is set for the destruction of every unbeliever, for the grinding to powder of everyone who has cast him away. Jesus emphasizes that in Matthew 21 when he applies this text to himself and says, everyone who stumbles over this stone shall be broken, but everyone upon whom this stone falls shall be ground to powder. Those builders congratulating themselves come back to find the house built on Jesus Christ, and standing under that house and looking up at it, that headstone, the capstone on the top of the wall, falls on them and crushes them. That too is the exaltation of the headstone of the corner, the destruction of all of his enemies. And now, beloved, behold the mercy of God in his doings to his undeserving church. And we builders who came back from the cliff, we builders who by right should have been crushed and condemned and perish in our generations too, God has saved us, changed us, covered us with the righteousness of that stone. Was perfectly righteous and perfectly conforms to Jehovah God and His glory and His holiness. Jehovah has said, I build you on that stone. And all of His perfection is now yours. I count it all as yours. You have a place here by my grace and for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's marvelous in our eyes. Marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's doing. His doing. Why do men want to talk about man's doing? Why would we ever want that? Why would we want to focus on what man has done? You know what man has done? We pitched away the stone. But the Lord's doing is salvation. The Lord's doing is the building of His church on Jesus Christ. The Lord's doing is your righteousness and mine in Him. And now look around. Look around. What's coming? A whole army of men. All kinds of opposition. They'll compass us around the way they did Jesus and the way they did David, type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're established by His grace as His people upon Christ. And then let the gates of hell come at the church. She won't move. She won't be overthrown. She cannot be. The Lord will preserve to Himself a church chosen to everlasting life as He gathers it from the beginning of the world to the end. What name is on the sign of that church may change. But the Lord preserves and gathers a church. And therefore we can face all of this opposition and all of the men with the confidence that we are founded by God's grace on this stone. Beloved, behold your cornerstone. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we come before Thee this morning thankful for Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt apply it to our hearts and encourage us by it. Comfort us in all of our afflictions and opposition and contradiction of men. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured the contradiction of men against Himself, who was cast out by them and refused by every builder. Thou hast made the chief cornerstone. This is marvelous in our eyes. We praise Thee for Thy doing. Forgive our iniquities. Supply Thy word to our heart. Bless the remainder of our worship for Jesus' sake. Amen.